Your home for sports on the radio. We are 95.3 The Score. And now,
check this out.
It's crunch time with Steve Tannen.
They think he's a righteous dude.
When I win.
Live from the Papa John studio.
Wait a minute. Let me get CB on the line. We're green lighting it. It's a go.
And I want full air support. I want tanks and some fire throwers. And I want explosions over here. And I want planes going. Cool.
Are they going to bust in here and arrest us?
It's crunch time on 95.3 The Score. And now, the Wednesday special edition of Crunch Time with Steve Tannen and USA Today's George Schroeder. Brought to you by Bi-Mart, just right for the Northwest. It's crunch time on 95.3 The Score.
Well, hello there. Welcome to, it's the middle of the week, I could tell. Bruce is singing, Schroeder's pending, and we've got a little sports show to present to you. A little bit. Not only Schroeder today in a Crunch Exchange at 4:30, Jerry Allen will join us before he hits the road, Jack, for Santa Clara. And so what's anything going on down there this week? Oh, right. A little something called the Pac-12 Championship game. As Oregon looks to win their what? Third Pac-12 Championship. Off the top of my head, I was driving around, got into some traffic. So I start, my mind wanders. And I was like, tried to run through all the conference championship games, and it dawned on me that only one team was 0-for the conference championship games and played in more than one. The team that played in the first two, that would be UCLA. Remember the Oregon Ducks, beat him 49-31. Stanford beat him. Stanford's won three Pac-12 championship games. Oregon 2, Huskies 2. And, of course, the Utes. Yeah, I forgot last year's Husky-Ute game was kind of about as scintillating as Oregon's Red Box Bowl game. What was that, 7-6? Washington and Utah scored the same amount of points, 10-3. MVPs. You know what? Is it possible that while you might remember the actual bowl games or championship games and Super Bowls and blah, 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 the conference championship games, is it me or is there just not a lot of pizzazz or great memories? I mean, you look at the MVPs, LaMichael James of the first one, Kevin and the Colonel Hogan, a quarterback of Stanford, then their running back Tyler Gaffney, Marcus in 2014, McCaffrey, Taylor Rapp of the Huskies in their first one where they beat Colorado in 2016, Sam, I am now with the Jests, Darnold, when Southern Cal beat Stanford. Now, I remember that being a good game. Maybe that's the problem. There's been two really close games worth memorizing. So, it's 5 o'clock on Friday. Regular crowd shuffles in. What?
It's 3 o'clock on Wednesday.
Is that
Steve.
Kind of up there, the passing of, and I have to be careful what I say? No point in calling us just yet. If we get around to it, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline is 284-8571. I guess it's the season to start signing baseball free agents. Cole Hamels, who got the big deal? Zach Wheeler, $118 million. Zach Wheeler. Is $118 million man.
5 years. It used to take 7 or 8 years for teams, like not that long ago.
Zach Wheeler. I'm not saying he's not a good pitcher.
He's fine.
He's had two full seasons where he's made all his starts.
Mike Moustakas is also just a fine baseball player. He got $64 million. Play baseball, kids. Go play baseball.
Yeah, they always say
you
that.
You need to put everything that your grandson Eugene does, and if he just even starts doing it with his right hand, put it in his left.
Right, I was just going to say.
If he's a left-handed relief pitcher, he can play until he's 97.
From now on, and we see Eugene every day during the week, I walk in the school. I am tying his right arm to his side, and I'm handing him a ball, and he's just going to, on the way to school, as we're walking, just start. First week, just throw it up and down and catch it. Then before we leave, we're not leaving until you can throw it at me 10 straight times and I could catch it without it hitting the ground. He's 6. We have time. This is going to happen.
Maybe, you know, but really reinforce that the left hand is his dominant hand. He needs to start writing with that hand. Maybe before then, just start eating with that hand, holding cups, brushing his teeth. Really make the left hand the dominant hand here. As a left-hander, I can say it is the best hand. Unfortunately, I threw right with my right arm, so that's why I'm not in the major leagues.
In the early days of ESPN getting really clever with their promos, so this is pre-Y2K. Maybe it was a local. There was a little promotional video, and it showed a dad in his baseball uniform, and a kid in his crib picked up a rolling toy and threw it with his left hand. And, like, they cut to the dad, and they got the tears coming down his eyes and everything.
$180 contract?
Well, back then, it would be like he probably can get a $5 million contract.
He's going to get $50 million.
Honey, what happened? What's wrong? What's the matter? He threw the toy left-handed accurately with a... with movement. With movement. All right.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Good God. All right. We've got things to get to. We've got who on the text line? Oregon crushed Arizona in a revenge game in 2014. That was the game where Mariota had set the Pac-12 record for passes without an interception. Then the first play of the Arizona game, it was the one that got saved in bounds, got intercepted. Oregon fell behind, tried to rally late, but was unable to. It ain't happening here, and what it is ain't exactly clear. But either way, let's lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, talk some college football. We're about 48 hours from the start of championship weekend. He's the fine sports columnist for USA Today who once roamed these very halls. Online, find his work, usatoday.com. In the publication, you'll find it in the red section on Twitter. Follow using the handle at George Schroeder. Mr. Schroeder, how are we doing on this wonderful Wednesday?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Loving it. So how was the holiday weekend in the Schroeder household? Dare I say, family, food, fun, and football?
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was. That's a good time of year, right? So Thanksgiving is always great. And then did not go anywhere last weekend, which made it even better. Just kind of watched football with the family and wrote a couple pieces from the couch.
Love it. The news that caught many by surprise, me, Chris Peterson, stepping away, no longer coaching Washington after their bowl. So part one, had you or anyone you associate with have any inkling this was coming? Or like what appears to be almost everybody, did it completely come out of nowhere?
Well, it's completely out of the blue. And the only thing I can really equate it to is, 2.5 years ago, equally out of the blue when Oklahoma's Bob Stoops retired. But that, you know, that happened, in June, and it just, you know, caught everybody by surprise. This, obviously, is maybe a more traditional time to make this decision, but it completely caught everybody by surprise for Chris Peterson to say, hey, I'm stepping away.
Yeah, and obviously living in Norman, you've got proximity, and you know Bob Stoops, who like you said, he caught everybody off guard and given way to Lincoln Riley. You spoke with him. He seems to now be a retired avid golfer. What did he have to? What did he have to say about Peterson's decision and maybe the circumstances? Something he could relate to?
Yeah, I mean, he said, look, everybody's got different reasons. He had not talked to Chris Peterson. They know each other fairly well. Obviously, Oklahoma was on the losing end of those fabulous trick plays in that Fiesta Bowl that brought a Boise to our attention all those years ago. But they got to know each other after that. Chris Peterson came out to Oklahoma and watched the spring practices, and, coaches love to sit down and visit and talk football. And then Bob Stoops apparently reciprocated the visit to Boise at some point a couple of years after that. And so they've got to know each other pretty well. But I think it caught Bob by surprise, too. That said, the reasons that Chris has given, which none of us have any reason to doubt, tracked very much to Bob with kind of the same kinds of things he was thinking about and the reasons he was wanting to step away. And that is, it is a grind. You do it forever, 365, 24/7, for year after year after year. And it wears you down, and if you have the ability to sort of step away, maybe it's a good idea for you to do it.
Yeah, I always find interesting, George, and you just use the word, the ability to do it. I'm sure right. Forever coaches have had burnout, but, 20 years ago and back, they couldn't just walk away, I'm sure, because it's only been the last couple decades that they've made this what I'll call life-altering money. So safe to say this is nothing new, but these guys who have been coaching and making $3 and $4 and $5 million a year, they could still walk away and make their mortgage payment and not really impact their lifestyle, you think?
Well, exactly. That's exactly right. And so, maybe it's not the kind of thing where you maybe it's harder for sort of Joe Sixpack or me, very similar to the Joe Sixpack, except it would be, Diet Coke or something. maybe it's harder for us and our listeners, many of our listeners, to sort of relate because a lot of us get burned out, right? And a lot of us get tired of our jobs, and we don't have the ability to do it. But I certainly don't begrudge him the fact that he's able to do it because the money is what it is these days.
Right.
But if this were 25 years ago, coaches were making, what was good money at the time, but it's not the life-changing money that these guys make. I don't have his salary in front of me, but he was making $3.5 million, $4 million a year, right. Whatever it was he was making over these last few years. He's got the ability to step away. And more than that, he's got the ability to forego basically a contract that was ready to pay him $17 million more.
Oof.
So good for him, right?
Right.
On the other hand, there's a certain part of all of us that probably says, it'd be nice if I could step away and just sort of do something else or nothing for a year. But most of us can't do that.
Yeah, Bank of America would not want to hear about my burnout when the mortgage was due.
I mean, good for us, right?
Right. Yeah.
But good for them is what I'm saying. Not bad for us, but good for them. And I don't begrudge it at all. It's just they're living a different reality than we are. When Bob Stoops, for example, can decide I'm going to play golf for the next however many years, and if I decide to do something else, I'll go do something else. Good for him. Same with Chris Peterson, although I don't think he's going to play golf. Good for those guys.
No.
I'm glad for them. Glad they're able to.
No, you used the word, I don't begrudge, as we continue with George Schroeder of USA Today. So one thought on the new selection committee rankings. I'll give you the scenario. The top three win, Ohio State, LSU, and Clemson. Georgia would be out with a second loss. Utah beats Oregon. Oklahoma beats Baylor. If you were a betting man, who do you think would be the fourth team in?
Oh, I would not. First of all, I'm not a betting man, but if I were, I would not bet this because there are too many variables here. We don't know how tight that decision was in the room between Utah and Oklahoma, right?
Right.
But by the way, I'm not ready to fast forward Utah or Oklahoma into that position. Because Oregon's going to want to have something to say about it, and Baylor's certainly going to want to have something to say about it in the Big 12 title game. And I think both of those teams are good enough to beat these teams. I do think and I want to be careful how I say this, I do think Utah has looked like the better team down the stretch. And I do think Oklahoma is probably the better team, although we did see the first half of that game in Waco, right?
Yep.
The second half was pretty impressive for a comeback. But I think both Oregon and Baylor could win this. But in answer to your question, man, I don't know. Here's what I think. If Utah were to win and look impressive, I think Utah is going to get the nod based on the fact that Oklahoma did not pass them when their resume is now better than Utah's. They did not pass them last night. Now, I understand none of these rankings are supposed to matter, but we all know they sort of kind of matter, and only the final ranking is supposed to matter. But here's the deal. If Oregon and Utah played a really close game and Utah prevailed, and then if Oklahoma blew the doors off of Baylor, then I think you could see Oklahoma passing them. But it might take that if they both win for Oklahoma to pass them. So
sure.
I think Utah's in pretty good position if it can get past the Ducks. And again, I'm not ready to fast forward and pass them.
No, no reason to. I was just, it was a hypothetical.
Well, here's my question for you.
Right.
Somebody posed this to me. And I said, no, look, they don't even want to think about this. All right, but if Oregon beats Utah, it's going to the Rose Bowl.
Sure.
If Utah beats Oregon and goes to the playoff, Oregon is going to the
Rose Bowl.
So what does it matter?
No, and it's weird because...
But it does matter to the Ducks tremendously, right? You want to go as the Pac-12 champion.
Of course. Well, the weird part is, George, you could make a case that after losing to Arizona State, Oregon may not have had to show up for the Civil War or this game and could have wound up in the Rose Bowl under the right circumstances.
Yes, and that is something I don't like about the new paradigm in college football. I don't like that. I'm glad they did show up for the Civil War. I'm very hopeful that they do show up for this game because, you know, I like what Mario Cristobal's got going there, and I would love to see Justin Herbert on a big, big stage sizzle because, by the way, only everybody's going to watch this Pac-12 title game. Some of them have been sort of not really relevant, not factors. Let's just go back to last year, for example.
Sure.
Nobody paid much attention to that one. But on a big, big stage, Justin Herbert gets a chance. And he doesn't need to impress pro scouts. He doesn't need to impress, I mean, although he could. But I'm just saying, just for people to see just how good he is, I would love people to see that. And I would love people to see the best of what this Oregon team has been and can be. I don't think we saw that down the stretch as much. But it'd be cool if you could see more of that in this game.
No question. Let's get to the SEC. What a matchup. LSU's firepower, Georgia's defense. They allow, 2.5 yards a rush. LSU's passing game coordinator is Joe Brady. The Bulldog defensive coordinator is Dan Lanning. That's 2 of the 5 Broyles Award finalists. You know, obviously the game's in Georgia. You think UGA has a shot to win this, which would obviously wreak a bunch of havoc?
Yeah, I think they have a shot to win. I don't think they have a great shot to win because I keep going. Let's just look. We shouldn't play sort of transitive property stuff or comparing scores. But let's just go back to the last credible opponent that each team played. And I'm not sure how credible Texas A&M really is, but it's a 7-5 team. LSU beat them 50-7, right?
Yeah.
In Baton Rouge. All right. So now. Georgia was beating down its rival, Georgia Tech, which is terrible this year in its first year in transition away from the triple option. Right? But the week before, Georgia played Texas A&M.
Yep.
And they scored 1 offensive touchdown and kicked a bunch of field goals against a team that's not great defensively and isn't great offensively. And they didn't score a ton. A&M didn't. But I do not see, as good as Georgia's defense is, and it's good. I don't know that it's as good as Auburn's, but some people would argue it's better than Auburn's. I don't know that I'm ready to go there yet. I think Auburn's is really good. And Auburn held in Baton Rouge LSU to a 23-20 win. But LSU went up and down the field on them and just couldn't find a way to punch it in. So what I don't, I guess your argument would be Georgia's offense is better than Auburn's, which I think is, that's certainly true. But they're going to be without their best 2 wide receivers. Jake Fromm has not had a good year. He's certainly not had a good year when he's throwing to people other than the two best wide receivers. One of them is going to be only out for a half after that fighting incident, but the other one's out. And they don't run the ball especially well for Georgia. And I don't like your chances when you bring a great defense or a good defense against one of these whiz-bang offenses. You better bring an offense to that fight, is my point. And Georgia doesn't bring one, and so I don't think they have a great chance. But if their defense can rise up and if they can force a couple of turnovers, it's a little bit like the Alabama-Auburn formula of what happened with Auburn winning that game. If that can happen, then they got a shot. But it's just hard for me to see Georgia scoring enough points, even if they slow down LSU, to beat them.
Yeah, when you think of Georgia's best productive offensive player, it shouldn't be Rodrigo Blankenship, their kicker.
Right, although he's got great glasses, I've got to tell you.
All right, the last one is I want to talk about, because we've talked about the Big 12 and the Pac-12, but in the ACC, we know Clemson's a million-point favorite against Virginia, and really weird scheduling quirk. The last time they played, Taj Boyd to Sammy Watkins was the lethal duet, but that's 2013. I'm on record. I think Clemson's winning the whole thing. Any reason to think this is not anything more than a tune-up for their first semifinal game in 24 days?
No. In fact, I think Clemson, you know, the narrative about the ACC being down is correct. It's way down. Virginia's a neat story. It's cool that they finally beat Virginia Tech. It's cool that they won the ACC Coastal, which, by the way, means each of the seven teams in the ACC Coastal has won it in the last 7 years.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Amazing. Yeah, a different winner every year until they got to all seven of them, which is crazy. But, I don't think there'll be much more than a speed bump for Clemson. And I like what you said, too. Clemson's going to be, barring upsets, right, if the season all plays out right, if Ohio State wins, if LSU wins, I don't know how they'll shake out. I suspect it'll be Ohio State 1 and LSU 2. But if those two win, Clemson's going to be the 3 seed, and I think you might be right. It might just be the best team in the country.
All righty. We look forward to it. Good for you, by the way, for being able to hunker down at home once again and just drink it all in. Follow what George is up to on Twitter at George Schroeder, USAtoday.com, and the Red section. George, fun stuff as always. Appreciate your time. Have a great weekend.
Hey, thank you very much.
All right. Take it easy. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. If you want to join in the fray, what did I want to mention to you guys? Oh, Friday Morning Duck Talk, our grand finale and a rarity on game day. Because Championship Friday for the Pac-12, 5 o'clock. Far as KJ Newstow 590, 95.3 The Score, we'll sign on with our pregame. That's what it's called. Before the game is a pregame at 1 o'clock. But from 8 to 9 at the IHOP at Gateway, brought to you by Bi-Mart, we'll bring you Duck Talk Live, getting you prepped. And if you can't make it down for free duck pancakes, you could hear the show on 96.1. KSL. All right, take a break. We're back. We'll have an update, and then we'll talk with. That's next hour. I'm a tad premature there. We'll just talk next. 95.3 The Score.
We're riding the waves of technology just for you. You can call the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline at 284-8571. Text 321-0824. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953.
You know, there's not a ton of separation from maybe, say, 8 to 13 or 14 or maybe even 15. You know, those teams tend to be clustered together. I think as we talked about last week, those have been tough to rank at times because they're so close together. But wins against ranked opponents do matter, but so does how you play.
Rob Mullins, Oregon Athletic Director, Selection Committee Chair, discussing the biggest factors that go into their rankings. Excuse me. We welcome you back to Crunch Time 95.3 The Score. Folks, it's a Wednesday. We won't have a show for you per se on Friday, but we will have a pregame and we'll broadcast the game and we'll have a postgame and then we'll get on with our lives. All right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. If you want to jump on in, let's take a phone call, maybe two. Bring in George. George, good afternoon. How's it going?
Things are well, Steve. Thank you. I, number one, have to admit that I am an absolute caveman when it comes to electronic gadgets. So I don't have any idea of the point spread between Utah and Oregon.
Okay. Would you like me to tell you?
Yes, sir, I would.
It's actually gone up. On Monday, it was about 5, 5.5. Now, in the paper and on my site, it's 6.5. The Utes are favored.
Wow.
Is that it?
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
All right. Thanks a lot. It's interesting because most people who aren't device junkies like us, what is the one thing that still happens? The newspaper. So,
I'm also imagining George, like, you know, knows a guy who he probably talks to on occasion about these sorts of things and is just trying to get a gauge on the number to see if he's right, to see if what line he should go with, what is he taking here. But, yeah, he doesn't have a phone. He probably still runs to the payphone in town to make the call or sends the guy a letter or something.
Like just... they did in Goodfellas. He never has a conversation on the phone. He has a guy go tell a guy to get a guy. Exactly. So they could put bets in. So my site right now, as opposed... Okay, so I have Monday's paper and today's paper. Monday, it was open at 5 up to 6.5. Check this out, the over-under 50.5. This is since last night. I guess they confirmed the weather is supposed to be CRA-PPY down in NoCal. So the over-under dropped 5 points. To 45.5.
Whoa.
I'll tell you what, Oregon fans, on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is, not such a big problem. 10 is like, ruh-roh. What's your nervous level about Oregon in this game? The bottom line is Utah's playing better right now on both sides of the ball. So, well, that's why they're favored. Wow. I should do sports talk for a living. Maybe pay attention to gambling. No. So my site's got -6.5 for the Utes, over under 45.5. And if you take Oregon against the money line, you get 2-1. I mean, the other championship games, Oklahoma, -8.5. Cincinnati and Memphis is actually a pretty important game because the winner will have the inside track, I believe, over App State. To be the top-ranked Group of Five team and warrant an at-large berth in a major. LSU's given 7 to Georgia. To tell you, it's interesting because with all of the Bayou Bengal firepower, you would anticipate a big over-under, but Georgia has been so limited that the over-under there is still more than the Pac-12 game because of the CRA-PPY weather. Virginia, Clemson's 28. Clemson's going to kill them. And I'll be perfectly honest, as weird as this sounds, I thought Ohio State would have kind of a similar line to Clemson, and they're only 16. I guess Wisconsin does have a good defense. They are playing a little bit better. And sometimes Ohio State makes a game or two closer than it needs to be. All right, 284-8571 to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. We go bring in Ed. Ed, good afternoon. Thanks for calling. How's it going?
It's going fine. You asked the question on how nervous I am. I guess this is one of the first times that it may not matter if the Ducks win or lose. I mean, they could go to the Rose Bowl either way, and if they start losing, maybe they should lose by a lot to make sure Utah goes to the playoffs. It's sort of weird because it just seems awfully strange, and it seems like three teams can lose and and still end up in a, and two of them end up in the playoffs. If Ohio State or LSU lose, they seem to get to stay there. I think this is a real strange deal.
Yeah, LSU would be in the most trouble because Georgia would absolutely go. Ohio State would still be viewed as the best team in the Big Ten. So, and Oregon, while they might end up in the Rose Bowl even with a loss and probably would, you certainly want to win the Pac-12 championship.
Yeah, you want to win it, but at the same time, it's sort of, you know, that's a lot more money for the Pac-12, and, you know, it's sort of unfortunate. It'd be nice to have both teams get a major bowl and a lot more money, but I think if Utah loses, they're going to get aced out, and that's my big fear.
Well, no, that's not an if. If Utah, appreciate the call, Ed. If Utah loses, they're not making the playoff. No two-team loss from this conference is going, so you know you got to worry about that. And like most, I don't know, how many people really look at the conference picture, because I couldn't give the first crap if a team goes to the playoff or not. I mean, I'm an Oregon fan.
Back the pack.
I don't back the pack.
The pack.
I don't do SEC.
Back the pack.
I don't root for a conference in football. I don't root for a conference in basketball. I don't root for a division in baseball.
This is the win-win for Oregon. You win and you get to go to the Rose Bowl and you still get to have the Oregon brand on a national stage. New Year's Day, granddaddy of them all. That is all just fantastic. If Oregon loses, yeah, you're bummed out. You still get Oregon in the Rose Bowl, more than likely, and then you get Utah in the playoff. That's a win-win. Back the pack. The Ducks can lose. You can still feel happy about everything.
Wrong. 284-8571.
Well, if you're not you, who's an emotionless robot, then you can feel happy about anything.
I'm sorry when it comes to it's Utah. I admire them. I think they're a good program. Coach Whittingham's a great coach. It's Utah. They don't generate emotions. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Ryan. Ryan, good afternoon. Thanks for calling. How's it going?
Hey, what's going on, man? First thing is the last guy on the call, like, he's complaining that if LSU gets beat by Georgia, the number 4 team in the country beating the number 1 team in the country, like, they shouldn't get in. Dude, look what they've done this year. Look who they've beat. They went to Alabama, so, beat them.
Yeah,
they beat
Georgia, Auburn. If Georgia wins, they're in. There's no doubt there.
No, Georgia. I'm saying this guy's talking about like LSU shouldn't get in with one loss if they lose in the SEC title game. Are you insane?
I've been called worse.
Look at their resume.
No, I know where you're coming from. That's where the problem is. That's why everybody outside of SEC country is going to be wearing their LSU gear, rooting for them to win, eliminate Georgia, and not even have to cross that bridge.
Right. But, you can't factor fact. It's not like they're not deserving, and it's not like Georgia's not deserving if they win. That's just commenting on that. Ohio State, if they lose, yeah, they should probably still get in. Their resume is not quite as good as LSU's. LSU has one of the best resumes in recent college football history with the teams that they've beaten this year in a single season. And this is coming from a Florida fan. I hate LSU. No, I do. I know you do.
The minute you say you're a Florida fan, you don't even need to follow up.
Yeah. So the second thing is, man, I like Oregon. I've had friends that, you know, played at Oregon, some friends I've made up here that played at Oregon. And but I think, honestly, man, I think you guys should just be hoping to get in the Rose Bowl, win or lose the Pac-12 title game, because I know a lot of people thought Oregon was going to make it in the playoffs, and I think that just would have been a turn for the worse. It would have been cool they got in the playoffs, whatever, but, I mean, you're not hanging with those top 4 teams.
No, I know what you mean, and you are – I appreciate the call. You broke up a little bit there, Ryan. It's amazing how many Oregon fans were like, I don't think they're capable of playing with LSU, Ohio State, or Clemson. Rose Bowl would be an opportunity to, you know, have a one-loss season and then cap it off with a major bowl victory. Then they lost to Arizona State, and you didn't have to worry about the playoff anymore. But as far as resumes go, yeah, for folks who aren't aware, and if you're like me, you probably stopped paying attention once the Ducks were out of that picture. I mean, LSU with wins against Florida, Auburn, and Alabama, and one of those wins at Alabama. I mean, if you look at the standings right now, you've got the number 11 and 12. They've beaten 25% of the top 12 teams, according to the selection committee rankings. And like Ryan said, it's as impressive a resume as we've seen in recent years.
And even their win against Texas is still pretty impressive, considering how they did it, because it was Joe Burrow stepping up on the national stage and everyone being like, oh, wow, LSU has a quarterback now on top of the defense we already knew was good, and their offense is going to be able to put up, 25 points a game, which is going to be more than enough because their defense isn't like letting anybody score. I mean, Texas, the win isn't as great now because they've taken quite a fall, but like that was a big win at the time when they beat them.
Oh yeah. And Texas A&M, they killed them. Like George said, George Schroeder, Texas A&M and Georgia was a 6-point game. LSU, by the way, on Saturday, they beat them 50-7. I mean, they've played some of the bad teams by, they beat them by 4 touchdowns, by 3 touchdowns. Mississippi State, that game was a little closer, but still, we're talking about it was closer because they only beat them by 3 touchdowns and a field goal. Though, I wonder if the selection committee will hold it against them that they allowed 2 touchdowns against Northwestern State in a 65-14 romp. I'm guessing no. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. By the way, for people who are taking it to the nth degree, the logic of Utah beating Oregon and getting the nod for the playoff puts Oregon in the Rose Bowl logically. Yes, there also is the possibility that Utah beats Oregon 27-26 on a fluke play at the end, and Oklahoma beats Baylor 56-3 and gets the nod. So then Oregon losing their automatic bid to the Rose Bowl puts them in the Alamo Bowl. So you got that. Which, of course, if you set your clock back to, the 23rd, and if you thought, well, Oregon's either going to be in the playoff or the Rose Bowl, and they end up in the Alamo Bowl, I'm sure a lot of fans would find that a little disappointing from going to one of the college football playoff venues or the Rose Bowl to end up in, in San Antonio? Yeah, by the way, remember the Alamo, Steve. I'll be with you guys any minute now. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. What do you say we take a break, come back? Oh, pay homage, as it were, and we will have a Crunch Exchange coming at you next. 95.3 The Score.
All rise. Hello, hello. All rise. It is time for the Crunch Exchange. It's how we wrap up Wednesdays during crunch time. I bring up a prospectus from the world of sports. Steve then tells us if he is buying, selling, and the now more often than not used pending option. We begin. The college football playoff has been a lot of fun. It ended the BCS and yelling about which are the two best teams, why are computers involved, to debates about who the fourth deserving team is and what best team means. And we get to watch 2 more Alabama games every year, except for this year. Uh-huh. After 4 years of the playoff, we're also starting to find some interesting quirks about the process. Mike Yam, BFF of the show, he's on tomorrow, pointed it out on Twitter last night after the rankings came out, quote, "Great news for Utah football. The team who has sat fifth in the college football playoff rankings before the conference championship games has made the playoffs 4 of the last 5 years. The only team that didn't make it was Michigan, who didn't play in a conference championship game. Makes sense when you think about it. There's always some weird chaos that happens during the conference championship week, and the committee tends to make it so that the chaos does happen by making one of the conference championship games a pseudo play-in game. And like Yam said, this is good for Utah. They can win the Pac-12 and have a team above them lose a game, presumably take that fourth playoff spot. It all comes down to Utah being able to beat Oregon and probably needing Baylor to take down Oklahoma, but still, the numbers and history are on their side. The prospectus, Utah will make the playoff just like almost every 5 seed has done before them."
Wow. I'm not, and I can't do pending because that's cheating.
It is.
I actually have to watch the games. I think they're ticketed. I know that people are right now honking the horn saying F you, Steve. But right now, I think they're the best team in the conference. I think they're playing as well as anybody, and I think if they beat Oregon, they got a better resume than Oklahoma, so I'm buying it. But after all this, I'm saying I really don't back the pack. That's just, it wouldn't matter if we were sitting in Dubuque or Pittsburgh or Norway. If I followed Norway like I do now, that would be my call.
What are we doing in Norway talking about Pac-12 football?
Teaching people about college football.
The NFL for years has been tinkering with their rules to make more offense and making more fun. And why wouldn't you? As much as everyone says defense wins championships, it's really hard to root for defense first in football. So more and more offensive coordinators are getting more and more creative, adding different elements to their plays to be flashy, exciting, and weird as all hell. It's probably what Miami Dolphins special teams coach Darren Rizzi and offensive coordinator Chad O'Shea were thinking when he lined his team up in the classic swinging gate formation that many Oregon Duck fans know so well. The play is all about numbers. Who lines up where? So you would have thought when three Eagles lined up the center and the kicker, that was probably going to be the end of that. The Dolphins would kick the field goal. Well, these Dolphins, as crazy as they are, have the first ever punter/holder to kicker touchdown pass in NFL history. These Dolphins, the tanking bad, horrible,
yep,
no
awesome,
good
by the
Dolphins,
way,
have one of the coolest plays of the weekend. I mean, sure, there was the double reverse DeAndre Hopkins pass to Deshaun Watson the same day, but you kind of expect that from Bill O'Brien, who's an offensive guy. And he stole it from the Bears, so it wasn't even his play. The prospectus. The NFL play of the year is the Dolphins punter throwing a touchdown pass to the Dolphins kicker.
Well, it's the first time it ever happened. They said it was the first time, because I saw it and I tweeted, when was the last time you saw 2 throw to 7 for a touchdown? And like 30 seconds later, they had the research up there. And I was like, I knew it. So, it's never happened. So,
play of
yeah.
the year? Play of the year.
It's got to be. If it never happened, how does it not stand out as the most unique? So I'm buying it.
Fair enough. A big shock from the NFL yesterday was the firing of Ron Rivera. After 9 years, 3 NFC South titles, 1 Super Bowl appearance, and 2 Coach of the Year awards, David Tepper has had enough. Rivera will almost certainly land on his feet. He even said that he wanted to coach again. It's just a matter as to where. And by my guess, there's about 5 to 7 teams that will be looking or strongly considering a new head coach in the fall. And the most interesting of the bunch is, what are the Dallas Cowboys going to do? Jason Garrett took over in 2010 and in an interim role, and then full-time in 2011. He's made the playoffs 3 times, lost all 3 times in the divisional round. He's only got 2 playoff wins. There's been ups, there's been downs, but the only true constant has been the clapping. He just can't stop clapping. Garrett has been able to deal with the constant criticisms as well from Jerry Jones over the past 9 years, but would a new head coach, presumably a better head coach, want to take on those critiques week after week? Is Garrett's ability to bow down to Jones the reason that he's still sticking around? The prospectus. Jason the Clapper Garrett will be the coach in Dallas next year.
By the way, 2 things. Somebody texted, there's a Norway, Oregon.
Wow.
It's between Coquille and Myrtle Point in Coos County.
Wow.
And 2, why is it when coaches lose their jobs, they lose their balance? And people always wonder if they land on their feet.
I mean, I would get, you have a job, you're fired. Yeah,
Guy was a pro football player. I think he's okay.
Do we know about Ron Rivera's true agility?
I don't know.
I think if you knocked him over, it might take a while to get up.
I should say pending to see how it goes, but they're not winning a playoff game. And I actually think he's had it. I think he's clapped his way out. I think he shan't be the coach of the Cowboys next year. Sell it.
Last one. I hate to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Liverpool are the top of the table once again in the Premier League. The rivals of
my boys,
Everton, won the Champions League last year and are on the hunt for the Prem title. They are now 8 points ahead of second place Leicester City. Yes, that Leicester City that won the Premier League 3 years ago. And the general rule is that when the Premier League team that's atop the table at Christmas, they end up winning the league, with the exception being Liverpool, who blew a similar lead 2 years ago when Manchester City were hunting him down. The prospectus, Liverpool will win the Premier League.
It's all I care about. That's my favorite EPL team. So there you go. Go Reds and buy that.
Curse of Steve.
Just got a text saying they never put together the philosophy of losing their job and landing on their feet. You'll land on your feet. Well, I will.
Why are you throwing me?
Well, A, I will. Two, but will I get a job? My balance is fine. My checking account balance, not so much with no income.
We're quite literally giving you a parachute made out of money that is strong enough that you will land on your feet. You will get another job, by the way, they will give you an airplane made of money to take off into the air again. And when things go bad, they'll give you another parachute of money.
You know, that should be reserved for other walks of life. The reason I bring that up is, how about this? You take a guy like Ron Rivera, and he earned an NFL paycheck as a starter for like 12 years. Since he left the game, I mean, he's been a coach since 1997. Defensive coach, linebacker, coordinator, defensive coordinator for 3 years, and a head coach for 9. So you add that all up, he's really likely to land on his feet, especially financially. You know,
I just learned his middle name is Eugene. Is he going to land on his feet in Eugene?
I didn't know that. Ronald Eugene Rivera, yeah. Who's coming up on a birthday in 4 weeks. There isn't a birthday party for me here. So, as a two-time NFL Coach of the Year, having been in a Super Bowl with an impeccable reputation, of all the problems in the world that you should be concerned with, what's going to happen to Ron Rivera should be well, well down the list. All right, before we bust out of here, your friends here at KUJZ 95.3 The Score got a great way for you to save big money. Go to our website, 95.3thescore.com, click on the Sweet Deals link, and you can save half price on local area businesses. And right now, we got another great sweet deal because it's Restaurant Week, and right now Qdoba is our featured place. You can get the details on our website, and again, check out Sweet Deals today from 95.3 The Score. All right, looking ahead to the 4 o'clock hour, we call it Sports Talk now. Today's not Thursday. We'll talk with Jerry Allen at the bottom of the hour. I've got many football questions and one basketball questions to ask the voice of the Ducks. I could now paint you a very interesting but potentially muddled NFL playoff picture, and I want to talk some NBA as well, so hang tight. 4 o'clock hour. Sports Talk is next. 95.3 The Score.
In my opinion, that sucked.